At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 2/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on East 17th Avenue in Hutchinson.
Did you, in fact, make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. My wife was with me, as were my four children and nannies. I had another couple with, they were there as well with their children, and we had lunch on the island. That is true, for an hour, and we left with all of my children, with my nannies and my wife all together. We were on family vacation.
I'm sorry,
we were not apart. To suggest there was anything untoward about.
Really, you're just going to fly all the way down for an, I mean, I'm not, I'm just asking a question. Can I ask the question? You're going to fly down for just an hour?
That's all you're doing, just asking questions.
Yeah, I'm just asking a question. Just, I mean, I know that if I get on a private plane, you know, I'm going to fly to somebody's private island. I'm just going to stay for an hour. Because I would imagine that that's, I don't know how long it takes to get down there, but that seems like it's a, you know, bit of a haul, right? That's
a
lot of, that's a lot of gas. That's a lot of, I mean, because I'm sure he flew private, didn't he?
I would imagine.
Look, it's compromising. And especially when this stuff has been happening after, because a lot of the stuff that, you know, these people are getting, the timeline for these people was even after Epstein was convicted the first time around. So I don't understand why we're still having this issue, that because like I said, a lot of this happened after he was convicted. I mean, am I wrong? The timeline on some of this, it's just odd.
I saw 2014 with the Lutnick thing, and I'm not sure what the timeline is on Epstein's convictions. But yeah, I mean, apparently they lived next to each other. They were like neighbors, and that's how they first met.
You can't tell me that he doesn't know, though. I mean, I just don't like unforced errors. I don't like people who create these problems for themselves. It's you know, and that's the issue with us. I mean, these people all knew about this guy. Everybody knew about this guy, and that's the big thing. What is it? Stacey Plaskett, I think. Ro Khanna. I'm looking at some of the names here. So Ro Khanna, he acted like he was a big, you know, he was just gonna he was gonna release everything, and then now we got. He's in the files. There's a lot of people that are named in this. Now, I will say, I think there's a difference. I mean, especially when it's an ongoing investigation and they've been investigating this guy for a while. I think there's a difference in being named because you just happened to attend an event that he was at and then partying with him. You know what I'm saying? And I do think that there is a problem with partying with a guy. I feel like that's safe to say, right? That doesn't mean you're a rapist if you didn't take part in anything, but there's still, everybody knew the guy was scummy. And that's the other thing. So POTUS, let me go to this. This has been a huge thing that the left has tried to manufacture. They have desperately tried to argue that, well, Trump is, because they want to distract from Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. This has been going on since, I mean, what, 2014, 2015 with Hillary Clinton and Trump. And they were trying to get ahead of it. Remember way back when, and they ended up telling on themselves. They showed their cards because they showed where they were vulnerable on, because they were trying to push this narrative that somehow Trump was a part of all of this. And it's, you know, just simply not true. And there was the story also that everybody knew of Trump kicking Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago and banning him from going to Mar-a-Lago. Well, now we got more, because now apparently it's come out that not only did Trump ban him, because apparently Epstein was like hitting on one of Trump's friend's teenage daughters. And so he wanted him out. He was like, that's no good. You got to get out. But apparently there is documentation, actually quite a lot of documentation, and clearly it was leaked out, I think, but I don't care, because they are unsealed court docs that show Trump called the Palm Beach police chief about Epstein all the way back in 2006. And he described Ghislaine Maxwell as, quote, evil, and said that she was Epstein's, quote, operative. And they have a transcript, apparently, of some of the call that was released. He said that she is evil. They need to focus on her. And that he said Trump. So the way it happened, and this is from the file, it said Trump told Redacted that he was around Epstein once when teenagers were present. And Trump, quote, got the hell out of there, end quote. Trump was also one of the very first people to call when it was discovered that they were in, that law enforcement was investigating Epstein. Nobody could explain how he made his money. They knew that he worked for Bear Stearns. This is all from the documentation. And yeah, apparently. And then he had been banned from Mar-a-Lago. Interesting. Wow, that's like completely opposite of what Democrats were pushing out there, isn't it? So, you know, what gets me is that POTUS, I think, has taken care to extricate himself from this controversy. And, you know, even in the very beginning, putting distance between himself and Epstein and getting him out of the getting him out of there. But yet, what troubles me is some of the people that were in his inner circle that apparently had no such caution. There are people who were out there and they looked at Epstein as, oh, this is a way that I can get some money. This is a way that I can get fast cash. Steve Bannon was one of them. And if you've been following me on social media for any amount of time in the past 24 hours, then you have my full array of thoughts on that. And unlike other people, let me just be very crystal flipping clear. Unlike a lot of other people that are out there, I worked with him in the same office space, and I've known him personally in person for over 15 years. So, yeah, I think I'm a little bit more knowledgeable as to his character than the bandwagoners that get paid to defend him. And that's truth. So there were people that were not as cautious and were incredibly reckless. And you have to realize when you are part of POTUS's, when you're part of the president's inner circle, when you're a part of the administration, one of the things that you have to realize is that what you are doing is reflective or can be somehow leveraged and weaponized against your boss. You know how the left is going to react. You know what they're going to do. Why the hell would you then be stupid? It's not an excuse to make bad decisions and say, well, the left was going to do it anyway. Maybe don't give them an opportunity because you're a selfish, bad strategist. There are several people that were in his inner circle that were not careful, that were incredibly reckless, and now look at it. Now you got the Lutnick stuff. All this stuff keeps coming out about Bannon. Hundreds of emails working with him to try to rehabilitate, even after his conviction, his reputation. You can't rehabilitate a pedophile. I don't even think they should be living. One thing I would immediately change is death penalty for child predation. Immediate death penalty. You just go out back. We'll make it quick and somewhat quick, but it'll be a lot easier than housing them for the rest of their lives in taxpayer funded jail. So that's the issue. We're going to talk more about this. Also, there's a number of things to touch on. We got trans issue that we're going to hit as well. And apparently they're remaking The Burbs. You guys know that movie? The Burbs. Oh my God. So if you have not seen The Burbs, and I'm not really a big Tom Hanks fan, but I love I loved this movie. It had Carrie Fisher in it. Bruce Dern was in it. He was so good. Corey Feldman was in it. And it's about this family that moved in on this cul-de-sac, and they're kind of like the odd ones out, right? They're really kind of weird. And it's about the community's reaction to them. I'm not going to give everything away, but it's an old movie, so you should have seen it. Anyway, it's hysterical. It's a hysterical movie. Now, apparently, they're remaking it, and it looks like steaming hot garbage. And it's on Peacock. It's on Peacock. And it's the remake, and it's I think it premiered a couple of days ago. And apparently, it took over and because I feel like people are now trained to just accept garbage as entertainment. How in the world does this get to be one of the like top thing? It just looks like woke garbage is what it looks like. I'm immediately suspicious of things that look millennially. Does that make sense? We're going to talk more about this because they, I guess, tried to they try to recreate it. I don't think you can recreate The Burbs, but I mean, apparently the reviewers are dragging it and they're saying it's woke garbage and it's try hard. And some of the people are like, yeah, I'm actually on the left and this is like really try hard. And I just, whoa, just garbage. Someone said it's the most unwatchable garbage I've ever seen. Oh yeah, it's bad. It's bad. So yeah, I don't know. And apparently, it's like, casting aside, apparently, like, the language that's used, etc., is, you know, chock full of political messaging. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? And ruin it. Not everything is meant to be remade, right? Not everything is meant to come back. And then, of course, coming up, I know you guys are going to be surprised at this, but a teenage boy competing in a women's track competition, in long jump specifically, jumped further than any of the other teenage female competitors and won, took first place. I know you guys are very shocked by that. I think the only thing I'm shocked by is, how is this still happening? So we're going to discuss this. We're also going to get into the woke Reich and have a serious conversation about some zombified thinking. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. And as we do so, the folks who make it possible, Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. And Patriot Mobile wants to save you money. They're also giving you premium prioritized service on all three major U.S. networks, so you get that reliable coverage everywhere you go. And it's backed by a 100% U.S.-based customer support team. They offer unlimited data plans, mobile hotspots, international roaming, everything that you would expect from top tier carriers. And every bill helps to fund organizations that fight for religious liberty, life, and constitutional rights. Make the switch today. Put your money where your mouth is. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. And if you use promo code Dana, you get a free month of service. It's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana for your free month of service.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, let's see. At least 112 different aircraft are headed to the Middle East in what's being described as desert storm levels. Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that. At least they said 112. An eye-opening number. It's the C-17 military transport and cargo planes. They were observed heading to Europe and the Middle East. And what some are saying, that kind of looks like a buildup. We keep hearing that we're going to war with Iran and we're going to war with Iran. I don't know. I don't really want to go to war with Iran. I don't want to go to war. I just, I'm done with this. I'm done just litigating Jimmy Carter, a disgraceful dead president, his mistakes. So but they said it was a total of 112 that have either arrived or are en route. And C-17s are huge, 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 huge planes. So that's a fun thing to keep an eye on. Yay, 2026 starts so great. Federal judges blocked California's efforts to demask ICE agents. The latest, a Democrat appointed federal judge, blocked California legislation that was going to prohibit federal agents from wearing masks while conducting operations within the state. Didn't totally rule in favor entirely of the Trump administration, but this was something that the DOJ, particularly Pam Bondi, had been really apparently very involved in. But they said they're not going to block them from wearing that, from wearing masks, etc. So it was a Clinton appointee. Interesting. So that person's been there for a very long time. China has reportedly told banks to scale back holdings of U.S. government debt. Also new, regulators in China have been urging banks to reduce these holdings, per Bloomberg. Authorities cited concentration risk and volatility as reasons for scaling back treasury investments. So it was reported first yesterday. It's the Sell America trade and appeal of the dollar. And Chinese authorities, they were saying, oh, it's volatile, so we need to minimize our risk in this. Sure, okay. Olympic athletes' medals, people are saying don't jump in them because they've been breaking. Yeah, you used to be able to bite them.
I know.
Now you can't even jump with them. Their medals are they made in China, the medals?
Yeah.
I'm curious. Now they're saying don't jump with them. Don't hit them on anything. Don't look at them, really. Don't taunt them. It's like Happy Fun Ball from SNL. Stick with us, a lot more in store. Partners, the folks over at Super Beets, the turmeric chews. Now, you might notice with the turmeric chews and some of the other products from the makers of Super Beets, they have new packaging and it looks a little different. So they have the white bags with the red letters, and then they have the red bags with the white letters, and the red bags with the white letters are the new packaging. So sometimes companies, when they come out with new packaging, the new packaging is on the shelf at the same time the old packaging is. And to alleviate the confusion, just know, because apparently there's been some confusion, it's the same product. It's just in a different package. The formula hasn't changed. The product hasn't changed. It's just the package that has changed. And so it's the same stuff that you know from the company that makes the Super Beets Heart Chews and the turmeric chews, which is a clinically studied turmeric curcumin complex. And it offers significantly higher absorption than conventional turmeric extract. So it helps your body get more from every serving. And they solve that issue of absorbability because of the way that they process this. So this is a highly absorbable form of turmeric and you're getting the full measure of it. If you want to kick off the new year with a great way to support your overall wellness, the turmeric chews are a great addition to that routine. You can find Humans Turmeric Chews at Sam's Club. So the next time you're there, pick up a bag.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Put all your gear on that you carry and then roll around on the ground. Now get up. All your gear that's on the ground, that's what you're not going to have in a fight.
Gun Talk should be in your podcast feed. Check out Gun Talk Nation.
What's it like to be blown up?
You know, if it's like C4, it's almost like a smack.
Hunting. Yeah, we talk about that too.
On your crosshairs, I like a thin crosshair.
AJ, you're really dating yourself by calling things crosshairs.
Your reticle, whatever.
Have some fun and stay informed with the Gun Talk Podcast.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Your illustrious hostess, Dana Lash, here with you at the bottom of this first hour with my coffee, black and bitter like my heart. And don't forget, You can find us over at Substack as well, YouTube, Facebook, and the podcast. Go and download it, because if you miss something, well, you won't if you have the podcast. I feel like so much of what we do lately, especially if you're in commentary, is take out the trash that's trying to infect the right. You might want to buckle up for this segment, because I think I'm at my wit's end. I'm just about there. I'm really just about there. I've never seen such an effort to torpedo a coalition like I have lately. And that's what it is. It feels like a giant psyop of people who are working very hard to tear apart the coalition so that it's completely destroyed by the time Trump leaves office. It really does feel that way. Yeah. And I think that there are enough examples where it's pretty safe to beg the question of what to do after, using that phrase correctly. So all of this popped off, and I hate talking about people. Here's the other thing. I cannot stand having to address people who are so desperate for attention that they're willing to embarrass themselves on a public stage. And I really want to ignore them, but sometimes it gets so ridiculous that you have to address it and you have to talk about it. So apparently, let me pull this up. I saw this from a couple of people. My very good friend, David Limbaugh, whose brother, as you know, the late great Rush Limbaugh, previously occupied this time slot. And people like Ryan Savadera and others. They had the White House Religious Liberties Commission yesterday morning. And apparently Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee was there, and several other people, including this beauty pageant queen. I don't remember which one it was. It was like a finalist or had competed or something. I don't remember. And don't remind me, because I don't care. I think she did a stint on Fox at one time. What's her name? Carrie Prejean? Yeah. Bowler? So she was defending Candace Owens and going after Seth Dillon. Now, I don't mind healthy debate, but what I dislike are people who try to act like bouncers for heaven and then proceed to behave in an ungodly manner. That's you know, kind of an issue. So what happened here is she decided to confront Seth Dillon and she was aggressively defending, I guess we'll start with what, cut nine? Yeah. Let's start with cut nine. God help us if I have to play more than two sound bites of this mind-numbingly ridiculous brain slop. Go ahead with cut nine.
I would really appreciate it if you would stop calling Candace Owens an anti-Semite.
Well, she
is. She's not an anti-Semite. She just doesn't support Zionism, and that really has to stop.
Doesn't support Israel.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why you keep bringing her up.
She would die if she had to define her.
Well, because they're the two most famous anti-Semites.
There you go again. Yeah. Everyone's an anti-Semite. Everyone's an anti-Semite.
Just like everyone's a Zionist.
So if you don't support Zionism, you just said you're not an anti-Semite, yet Candace is an anti-Semite.
I think she goes far beyond not merely supporting Zionism. She calls Jews the synagogue of Satan. She denigrates anyone who... She often uses the word Zionist and the word Jew interchangeably. At one point, she slipped up and used the word Jew, and someone said, oh, you're not saying Zionist anymore? She's like, no, gloves are off.
So do you think saying Christ is king is anti-Semitic?
No, Christ is king.
Amen.
Christ is my king. He's okay. The king
Such
of the
a
universe.
So that's
question.
What started the whole thing with her, right?
But, my thing with her. Christ, what I explained to her, and this is what she considered this deep betrayal, was simply that the phrase Christ is king has been, admittedly by many, co-opted for the purpose of identifying with a Groyper movement. Yep. And putting the Jews in their proper place to show them that they are other than. And they will use the phrase in very, very nasty context, like I cited in my statement earlier, Christ is king, you dirty Jew. I've had that told to me dozens of times. Do you think that that's anti-Semitic?
So first off, let's start with that phrase, because when was that? Like over the summer, over the past year? It wasn't used as a phrase of worship. It was blasphemy, because people were not actually exalting God. They were using it as a cudgel against people they don't like because of their origin. And I shouldn't have to explain that to smart people. Smart people understand the difference. And so I do find it incredibly discourteous to act as though when you say that, that you're not blaspheming while you're trying to put someone down because they're of a, you know, they're, you don't like their origin or you don't like their ideology, etc. I find that to be incredibly weird. I also don't think that you can't be heaven's bouncer if you make sex tapes. Let's just be very straightforward about that. And I'm not saying anything that hasn't been admitted to publicly by Miss Ball or whatever her name is, or widely reported on. I just think that, you know, I don't know how she ended up on this panel. I think she was incredibly out of her depth on this panel. And I feel like all of us shouldn't be punished because the blonde version of Kardashian doesn't have the same business acumen and wasn't able to make the same thing happen for her based on her sex tape that Kim Kardashian was able to make for herself. So feel like that's, you know, I just feel like if you're making sex tapes and you're taking nudie photos and all this other stuff, that maybe your judgment is on other issues isn't going to be great either. And I feel like that's incredibly fair to say, especially when you're trying to act like the bouncer for heaven. Right. And you're saying things like Christ is king, not because you're exalting Jesus Christ, but because you're trying to use it as a cudgel against to Jews. Right. That's the crazy thing for the people who read with photos, because I feel like this is a pattern of behavior. So I didn't really know anything about this chick. I had to look. I didn't know who she was or where she came from. But apparently she was like a beauty pageant person and she ended up getting it was Miss California USA. And she apparently got her title taken from her, looking at widely reported pieces here, because she apparently there were some intimate photos that came to light. And there she was accused of not doing fulfilling her contract by doing appearances. And so apparently that's why they took her title. And to save face, to me, it seems like she decided to make it out like they were punishing her because she was Christian or because she didn't support same-sex marriage. And that seemed to come up later. The stuff about not doing the appearances and the existence of these photos and, you know, video, etc., that seemed like apparently that was like a character clause in their contract and they had an issue with that. That's not unusual, by the way, with like pageant stuff or even high profile roles, you know, for your job. That's not unusual. So it seemed kind of like to save face, she had to make it about that. So, you know, I mean, to me, at least when I'm reading everything. So, and then she had to settle and all of this stuff and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I just feel like, I don't know, if you're like, you compromise yourself in certain ways, I just don't feel like I'm going to be trusting your judgment on other issues. That being said, I think she was very much out of her league here. And then she was saying that she doesn't want to be a slave state to Israel. She said this while wearing a Hamas pin. You can say, quote unquote, Palestine, but I don't use that phrase because Palestine is a made up word for an entity that's never existed. So she's wearing the Gaza flag with the United States flag while she's tweeting about how she doesn't want to live or be operated by as a slave state by Israel. So she's, you know, promoting Hamas propaganda. She's wearing the Gazan flag. And then she does this. This is cut 10. Oh, gosh. This is the last one I'm going to play. I'm not going to rot your brain anymore. I promise. Go ahead.
One last follow-up. Since we've mentioned Israel a total of 17 times, are you willing to condemn what Israel has done in Gaza?
No, because I unilaterally reject that it's not a genocide. The only genocide ever carried out was on October 7th when Hamas tried killing every man, woman, and child they could possibly find. Hang on, let me refine.
70,000 innocent civilians killed?
Let me respond. So first of all, it's
Hamas propaganda.
And Kerry?
Just on the record.
Excuse me. Okay. As chair of the committee.
I think it's important we have this discussion.
I agree. I'm happy to answer.
And Kerry,
I think we'd be great friends.
Yeah. Kerry, I'm happy to answer.
Kerry, we have had the discussion. Good questions. Good answers. This is a commission on religious liberty. If there's another commission on this issue,
the fact that Dan Patrick had to jump in.
To be fair, you brought it up.
Okay. Look, Ben Carson's sitting there. How did Kerry Prejean, whatever her name is, get on this panel? She is entirely out of her depth. She hijacked it to pull a stunt. I mean, she's sitting there with actual smart people. And the fact that Dan Patrick had to intervene, Dan Patrick, of all people, had to intervene. She looked like an idiot. And first off, you're citing Hamas numbers. Do you realize that Hamas told on themselves when they made an announcement about their contributions to their martyrs fund just this past month? Everyone's aware of that, I'm sure. The numbers were so wildly disproportionate to what has been promoted in the press from the same Hamas Ministry of Information. In fact, it's like a third of that, and they're all adult males fighting age. And they were donating to their martyrs fund. I just find it incredibly interesting that the person who's wearing the Gaza / Hamas flag has no questions as to why Hamas chose to do this in Gaza. And it has nothing to do with Zionism. And I'm really, really tired of very unintelligent people who can't define Zionism, accusing everyone who disagrees with them about hating to Jews of being Zionist. I find it vapid. It's boring. You need new material at this point. Not everyone who disagrees with you is a quote unquote Zionist. Not everyone who disagrees with you believes that Revelation is a prophecy that exists for today. Not everyone thinks that. Some people just think that these are people who have a right to live in the land that they have always lived in for thousands of years, which is supported by thousands of years of antiquity in both Christian history, Jewish history, and even Islamic history. So that's really, you know, the nature of a lot of people's viewpoints on this. But what people like Carrie Prejean or whatever her name is, whatever, what people like that do is they, oh, well, you're Zionist. They immediately use a leftist tactic and invoke a logical fallacy of trying to say, well, you're guilt by association. Ergo decido, you cannot be taken seriously because we are putting you in this category of people as a way to neutralize your opinion. That makes it easier for them to do instead of having to have the wits to push back specifically on your viewpoint. And this is a tactic that I see all the time from the left, the same left that practices the same identity politics that I see being practiced here on that so-called religious panel that was unfortunately hijacked by a beauty queen who made a sex tape and wants to get attention for herself. And if you dislike my opinion on that, then I suggest you take issue with the widely reported to and admitted fact that my opinion is based on. You're welcome. Now, furthermore, with this, the idea of, I mean, be a Ben Carson there. You had a lot of really smart people there that I would have really rather heard from. I don't even understand how this erupts into what it is. How are you at a religious panel and you're wearing the Hamas Gaza flag while you're simultaneously declaring that you don't want to live as a slave state under Israel? And then what's more is there was the tweet storm where she was accusing everyone who disagreed with her of somehow infringing upon her First Amendment right. What? That doesn't even make any sense. I responded to that. I think it was last night. I just don't quite understand it. She apparently is acute. Anybody who disagrees with her, apparently she said it's an anti-American, anti-Christian rhetoric. And she said Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson are expressing their First Amendment right to free speech. And they have that right, even if you don't agree with them. My thought was, well, you don't get to restrict our First Amendment right to call out the absolutely idiotic garbage that they say. And now, like a leftist, she's trying to argue that people are trying to get her fired. I have no idea. She's like, I am not going to be forced to embrace Zionism. Well, no one was asking you to do that. And she says, I'm not a slave to a foreign nation, while she wears the Hamas Gazan flag pin. I mean, the lack of self-awareness is truly stunning. But again, when people like compromise themselves by making sex tapes, I really do judge their, I question their judgment on other issues. But no one's forcing, I mean, name names. Who's trying to force anybody to embrace Zionism? That's such a leftist tactic. It's leftist ungodly behavior because you're bearing false witness while you're also trying to act as the bouncer for heaven. That doesn't work. And real Christians who actually try to really practice their faith instead of just use it for clicks are noticing this. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's the folks that are over at Relief Factor. Relief Factor is something you can turn to if you're dealing with everyday aches and pains. And with Relief Factor, it's 100% drug-free. So it's a drug-free formula. It's made with research-backed ingredients, includes omega-3s, resveratrol. It's all designed to support relief from everyday exercise-related, everything-related discomfort. and it's designed to help your body fight back against aches and pains so you can get back to the life that you enjoy. You don't have to accept pain as your new normal, and Relief Factor supports that healthy inflammatory response. And so if you want to try it, which you should, you can start with a 3-week quick start. See how Relief Factor could be your game changer too. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF. Tell them Dana sent you.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Make sure you're following the podcast so you never miss an episode, especially when the news gets crazy. And while you're there, leave a quick rating and a review. It helps us get this show in front of more people who need some sanity in their day.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I mean, this is, being able to represent the U.S. at this stage in the Olympics is one of the greatest honors that I've ever had. So I'm truly grateful to be here representing the red, white, and blue.
I think it kind of means the world. It's really like a whirlwind of emotions, flying here this morning, hanging out in the village all day, and then, you know, getting fitted for our clothes and, you know, just meeting athletes and then coming here and practicing. And now it's all like, oh my gosh, like day one's over. Like, it's kind of crazy. So really enjoying the experience so far and having a lot of fun.
That's nice. It's so nice to hear nice things being said. That was the Tkachuk brothers. Tkachuk.
No, the T would be silent. Just Tkachuk.
No, that's, I'm going to say it just like I'm going to say Pfeiffer. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Pfeiffer.
Right.
Come on, Kane.
Okay.
I just like hearing something nice said.
Yeah.
About, you know, because it's just been, I feel like every, weren't there like a couple of bits of audio that came out like last night about another athlete kind of running their mouth? And I'm just so damn tired of it.
And that was after we played some that had already been put out
right
by some of these Olympic athletes.
I just get so, don't you get so tired of hearing that? I get tired of hearing it.
I mean, that's the pinnacle. When I grew up, it was the pinnacle to be able to perform in the Olympics for the United States. That's the pinnacle. And a lot of these kids have no, I don't know, they have no tie to it at a soul level.
It's kind of neat that the brothers can go through it, the Tkachuk family legacy there. So you have one Ottawa Senators, the other Florida Panthers, and they're both in the Olympics, and that's nice. It's so nice to hear something that's just, you know, rah-rah and optimistic, and you're happy that you're representing America. And then you have the chick who decided to go and compete for the CCP. She was trying to just clap back at POTUS because he criticized her. I really don't want to hear what some Chi-Com has to say. No one's gonna take that seriously. All right, so we had that audio of Luttnick admitting that he visited the island. The problem that he made for himself is because he kind of misrepresented how well he knew Jeffrey Epstein. We've got that and a whole bunch of stuff, including another boy beat another girl in track. We got that and more. Stick with us. I was talking with Colin Plume over at Noble Gold Investments, and we were discussing how no one really knows what 2026 is going to bring. Elections, markets, wars. But one thing we do know, gold and silver have outlasted every empire. And that's why gold keeps coming up as a steady, reliable option. Every crash, every currency. And at the end of the day, it's about that peace of mind. Having a little gold in your strategy can make those wild market swings a lot easier to live with. Because real wealth isn't flashy. It's being prepared and protecting what you've already built for yourself, your kids, and your grandkids. Create a more stable financial future. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana and download their free gold and silver guide. And when you open a qualified account, you'll receive a complimentary 3-ounce silver virtue coin. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. Having a little gold in your strategy can make those wild market swings a lot easier to live with. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's #529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Welcome to the second hour, top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. You can find us on YouTube and Facebook as well, X. And we have the chat that's rocking, although I don't really want to push people to go to that platform because they suppress us and I don't like it. Also, don't forget the podcast. So I got to play this crazy bit of audio for you. It's really, truly remarkable to have your suspicions about elected officials or appointed officials confirmed so spectacularly, as in the case of the sheriff of Charlotte, North Carolina, Gary McFadden. He was asked, under what branch of government does he operate? And it was a question that he could not, believe it or not, answer. Watch this, cut 19.
What branch of government do you operate under?
Mecklenburg County.
What branch of government do you operate under, Sheriff?
Constitution of the United States.
Correct. That is what establishes the branches of government. I'm asking which branch you fall under.
Mecklenburg County. I'm a duly sworn Mecklenburg County Sheriff. We answer to the people of Mecklenburg County.
This was not where I was anticipating getting stuck. Are you aware of how many branches of government there are?
No.
Okay. Oh, my.
For the sake of debate, I will move on and say there are three branches of government, legislative, executive, judicial. Of those three, which do you believe you fall under?
I believe I fall under the last one.
Would you say it to me?
Judicial.
Okay. You are incorrect, sir. You fall under the executive.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He had no idea. Well, because he's elected, so people voted for him. He is not like a municipally appointed chief, a police chief that would answer to a city council or a mayoral's office. He's elected by the people, sheriff. And so as a result of that structure, he falls under the executive branch. He couldn't even name the three branches of government. I mean, they taught us that with Schoolhouse Rock, Kane. They had like a whole song. It was like a video and everything. They had, I mean, everybody knows. So he didn't know. Well, he was trying to say, well, I fall under the judicial. No, you actually don't. And they were talking about management issues and with a special focus on immigration enforcement. So that's why that hearing was happening. There was a petition to remove him from office. And he was being pressed on state lawmakers in North Carolina. And he just could not even get, well, I fall under the Constitution. Okay, but you fall under the executive. And I feel like the questioning, he was trying to, the sheriff there was trying to act as though somehow that he didn't have the authority to enforce the law when he actually does have the authority to enforce the law. He's not a police chief. He doesn't answer to, again, you know, a city council or city manager or mayor, etc. I mean, they, sheriffs, different from chiefs, are executive branch positions. That is an executive branch official because they are elected by the people. So that's why are you sheriff and you don't know this? That's because chiefs are not accountable to the voting populace, because a chief is appointed by, again, a mayor, confirmed by city council, etc. The sheriff is selected by the people and accountable to the people and falls under executive branch. Now they can act as, the phrase I'm looking for, officers of the court. They can, like, when they're serving warrants and things like that, they can act in that capacity, but that does not take away from the fact that that falls under the executive branch. So, wow. That was shocking. I'm almost to the point where I'm not shocked anymore. Not at all. Now, if you thought that elected official was bad, I want you to hear this Kentucky judge. Kentucky Judge Tracy Davis cut a 65-year recommended prison sentence for a rapist in half. This was in Louisville. Listen to this.
But Judge Davis thought the jury's recommendation was too long. She feels he hasn't mentally matured yet and never had a real shot at getting any help early in life.
But if you were to come in here and instead of being hurt and angry, which is what this court hears, right, as a 20-year-old African-American male that has been, you know, experienced this society, et cetera, and you would show that, yes, okay, this is the situation. This is who I am. I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to be in jail forever.
Thompson repeatedly stated he did not care, not about his sentence, the victim, or her family. But Judge Davis emphasized she's the one that holds the pen, and regardless of what the media may think, she applies the law. To her, 65 years was an extremely long time. As she puts it, it's his whole life, one she doesn't believe should be spent entirely behind bars.
This court does not believe that Mr. Thompson, if given the resources that he can get while incarcerated, is beyond being rehabilitated.
I mean, that's pretty insane. That's Judge Tracy Davis. She felt bad for him. So, you know, he gets a reduced sentence. Screw the victim, right? By the way, the guy was entirely unrepentant. He's a 20-year-old dude, Christopher Thompson. He had kidnapped a woman, robbed her, and then raped her. So this is not just rape. It's kidnapping, robbing, and rape. And he was also armed at the time. Now, here's something else to note with it. He was already on probation when he committed this crime, these crimes, and he was already enrolled in a diversion program. So the first instance of restorative justice that was applied to him clearly didn't work. He had previous charges of, again, being a prohibited possessor, in possession of a firearm while in the commission of a felony, and also fleeing police. So he already has a pretty long record. If you have to be taught not to rape someone, you're incompatible with life on earth. If you have to be taught as a 20-year-old to not be a predator, you're incompatible with life on earth. These sorts of predators thrive on the indulgence of society's understanding through restorative justice, and it is ridiculous, and that's why it continues to happen. And judges like this aid and abet the rapists, because he's going to be out there doing it again. And by the way, he's 24, not 20. He's 24 now. He was sentenced February 2nd, and this was a 2023 attack. He literally, and he raped her twice. He kidnapped her, robbed her, held her against her will, and raped her not once, but he raped her twice. The first time was in a school parking lot. And by the way, he raped her twice at gunpoint each time. And so she thought, by the way, when they, because he kept interrupting her, which I can't play the things that he said, because at one point he yelled at the judge, quote, "I ain't doing nothing. Eat my redacted male copulatory organ." Now, Kane, in any other courtroom, if you're the criminal and you're responding that way, what, pray tell, would happen to you?
Get time added to your sentence.
Or you'd also be in contempt of court.
Yeah, I mean, that would do it.
He yelled at the judge at one point, again, "If I could spit on you, I would." And she says, quote, "At the end of the day, I'm the one with the pen." And he goes, "I don't care." And she still was trying to have sympathy for him. After all of this, this is the guy who had kidnapped a woman, robbed her, and raped her twice at gunpoint. And this is what he said at the hearing. Let me continue. If you thought that was bad, wait till this quote. She was talking about sympathy, and he interrupted her, yelling, quote, "I don't have sympathy for nobody. I don't have sympathy for you, the victim's family. I don't care. Boo hoo." So instead of getting 60 years, he's going to get 30 years. And she still maintained that he could possibly be rehabilitated. Oh my God. And she said that he had made a mistake. He sounds like a violent nut who's incompatible with life on earth. I think he needs to be put to death. That's me. I think if you're a rapist, if you're a predator, and that's all you know how to do, yeah, you're incompatible with life on earth. And it would do humanity a world of good just to make it to where you no longer exist on this earth and you can't affect future generations, infect them with your DNA. I mean, good heavens. I think 60 in my estimation wasn't long enough, Kane. And that, can you believe that guy was yelling at this whole hearing? I can't even say some of the other stuff he said. I'm not joking. I literally cannot say some of the stuff that he said, like not a lick of it. But yet she's like, "Oh, he's such a victim." Like, ignore the victim. 60 years down to 30. This is why this stuff keeps happening. Just shameful. Absolutely shameful. Now, on top of this, let me switch to this. This is also insane. A teen athlete says she was sexually violated by a trans wrestler. And there's video. There's video of this. This is the craziest. This is going to be cut 25. So the story, this athlete, it was a 190-pound bout. A 16-year-old sophomore at Rogers High School says it was a December 6th matchup, and it was with a district rival, Emerald Ridge High School. The video taken by her mom, you can see the panic and disgust in her face. He apparently, wow. The referee was out of sight, and apparently, I can't say what he did. He put his hands and digits somewhere they should not have gone. Let me ask you this. Dudes wrestling, do you stick your fingers in the up the other guy's backside?
No.
You don't do that?
No, like in the crack.
And this wasn't her backside. This was the other.
Yeah, no, I mean, you do reach through the legs, I guess, when you're wanting to do certain moves wrestling-wise, but no. What I'm seeing in that video, no.
Let's play this video, and you guys tell me what you think. This is the video here. This is the high school wrestler in Washington State. She says she was sexually assaulted by this opponent, and it's kind of hard to think that she was not. Watch. They're wrestling here. I mean, he's just dominating.
There he goes, right there. Now, the fact she's that she went on her out. Side right
Get
there,
to your mm-hmm.
now that move, him trying to flip her by using that move is no longer effective, right? But he still
Get to your base. Get to
kept
your base.
The hand
Look at her.
Like,
she's looking at her mom.
Get
he
to your base.
Put his digits in her
Get to your base.
Like,
Get
in
to your
her.
Base.
In her.
Get to your
and
base.
I am shocked. That is, that's bad. She says, "I couldn't find my coach. There were other matches going on. She was traumatized and confused, so she just let him pin her." He's a boy. He's a boy pretending to be a girl. And, wow. I am, that's heinous. So they're investigating it, and the school, they can't share information about the student. They had the Pierce County Sheriff's Office involved. They said they did launch a criminal investigation. They had a school resource officer involved as well. And the public school, they have to be, they're mandatory reporters if they suspect that a child has been abused in any way. And that extends to sexual assault committed by other students. So it has to be reported. So now they're, and they have to, I guess they have to investigate and prove that it was intentional. I mean, yeah. That seemed like he did it because that was, she was a girl and he could, to me. Several wrestling coaches reviewed the video, and they were telling some of the local press, quote, "That is not common unless you're doing it intentionally," end quote. I think that dude needs to be banned from sports, and I think he's a sexual predator. That's what he needs to be listed as. Tired of this stuff. Our partners that help bring you the program, the folks over at Burn a Gun. I've told you a million times before, I carry. I have no problem using lethal force at all whatsoever. I'll sleep soundly at night. It doesn't bother me. If you're a threat to me or my loved one, you know, buy the ticket, take the ride. However, I also know that there are certain times when people are disarmed by private property, local, municipal restrictions, or maybe you're under age 21 and you want to be able to carry a pistol, but you can't because of federal law. Well, here's where the Burn a Gun comes in, particularly the compact launcher. That's the one that you need to look at, the CL for short. It's roughly the size of an iPhone, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And when you compare it to stun guns, they have like maybe one or two rounds. This is a 15-round shot capacity per cartridge, made right here in the US of A. Here's the kicker. There's no worries about gun-free zones because it's not a gun. So it doesn't apply to that. It doesn't care about gun-free zones. There's no background checks. There's no permits. You buy it online, they send it right to your door. So visit Byrna.com/Dana. Check out the Byrna CL today. BYRNA.com/Dana. Ready when you are.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So lawmakers in Texas and Ohio are considering abolishing property taxes. Now in Texas, you realize that the property taxes are all set locally, like municipally. And so it can't be, the state has to finagle stuff to get to that point. It's not anything that they can, which I find that as an excuse. I think that's an excuse. But in Ohio, they're going to, this needs to happen because the property taxes in Texas are too flipping high. And this, you can't, we're not having high property tax and high sales tax. Because honestly, everybody can sit here and say, well, you don't have a state income tax. Yeah, but the property taxes, we're making up for it. No, no joke. Not a joke. Also, let's see. Scientists are on red alert as a doomed volcano in Mexico stirs after 40 years of silence. Dum, dum, dum. Doomed volcano. That sounds like a really interesting band name. It is a volcano in Mexico that has had changes recorded by scientists from the National Autonomous University of Mexico. They've been monitoring it, and they said there's some unsettling changes, and they have liquid sulfur pools that are bubbling up now, and none of that sounds comfortable or nice. That all sounds horrible. So, AI chatbots are giving bad health advice, says research. In other news, research actually had to undertake a project to determine that AI gives you bad health advice. Wow, we got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
But we rarely talk about the why. People want to know what drives us, especially in a world with social media where everyone's looking for the next authentic thing. For me, that's my faith. Most of the decisions I make are based on that golden rule that says we love our neighbor as ourselves. Yeah. And that parable of the Good Samaritan that says everyone is our neighbor. Yeah. And so when I've taken actions like vetoing the nastiest piece of anti-LGBTQ legislation that ever came through my state, I described it in those terms. I said my faith teaches me that all children are children of God. Yeah. And I didn't want people picking on those kids.
Yeah. I love how they count. It's just people picking on some kids. That's what ICE is. ICE is just people picking on some kids. That's Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. Don't think that he's a moderate. He's not. He's just a chicken. That's what it is. He's, I think the guy's running. I do think the guy's running. I just don't see that he's not. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of the second hour as well. And so trying to be like, well, I love Jesus, and that's why I believe in open borders and illegal immigration. That's not the argument you think it is, my dude. It is not the argument. His and then he gets into his faith is what drives him supports him from the chemical and surgical mutilation of children in the name of gender ideology. His faith is, you know, his faith is what drives him to support that gender experimentation. Open borders and gender experimentation. How does that? So you're taking issue with someone made in God's image. How is that an expression of your faith? You're fighting God over God's creation. How is that an expression of faith when it really is a rebellion of it? Andy Beshear's rebellion. Really interesting. This is why this stuff keeps happening. We have this story as well. Let me pull this up for you. This was a track meet. This is crazy. This competitor at this track meet won first place in the girls' competition, the girls' division, right? A.B. Hernandez, who is a senior at Jarupa Valley High School in Riverside County, recorded a first place jump. And not shocking, was first place in the meet, right? Was able to, I mean, because he's bigger, leaner, etc. And I mean, he got a medal, got all of it. He came out as transgender and took first place in the girls' high jump, got first place in the triple jump. And there's been a lot of controversy over his participation in girls' sports because, you know, not surprisingly, girls are a little bit uneasy with losing first place to a dude. I mean, this guy would have been not even in the top 50 in the boys' division, but he gets first place in the girls' division. He wouldn't even be considered good enough. He's like barely good enough for JV in the boys division. And here he's like beating all these girls. Because they're treating it like rec league. And so the U.S. Department of Education, as you know, has been investigating the California Community College Athletic Association because they oversee something like 110 or whatever athletic programs throughout the state. And they're looking into, it's based on an investigation that started last year, and the inquiries also named this high school, that this transgender student attends, as well as some others. And it really, because in California, they can still do this in California, because people have been asking since I quote tweeted this yesterday. People have asked, how is this still possible? Well, because California still allows it. You heard Andy Beshear. He acts like it's an expression of faith. I know, but California still allows it. And it's unfortunate because now, you know, we played you the video of the girl who was sexually assaulted while being wrestled. The guy, you know, clearly was angry. I mean, I watched this video. I feel so sorry for the girl. She's freaking out. She's like looking at her mom who's recording. And this dude has his hand. This is what girls are having to put up with in sports. They're manhandled. They're abused. They're targeted. And then they're further abused and slighted as bigots if they express any level of discomfort with any of this. I mean, the guy grabbed her female copulatory organ and penetrated her while wrestling her on purpose so that he could win. Couldn't she have stomped on his crank, Kane? Man, I'd have grabbed and twisted at that point. You're going to do that to me? Oh, you will walk off a nubbin short. That's how that's going to happen. Because you have a daughter. I have boys. I mean, you have boys too, but if your daughter was a wrestler and you saw that happen.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you'd be in jail.
Yeah. I would try the adult approach.
I feel like that is the adult
governing
approach.
Body. Whoever that is, the school board or whatnot.
Yeah, they're not going to help you.
And tell them how serious I am. And if nothing happens, then yeah, I would probably do something like that.
Yeah. There are all these people that have weighed in. Someone's like, as a former wrestler, there's zero leverage gained by grabbing an opponent between the legs in that position. You know, it's not proper technique. It's a calculated move to intimidate and terrorize her. Absolutely it was. He was intimidating and terrorizing her. He had to be banned from sports. I look at all of it as intimidation and terrorizing. Look at all these dudes, whether it's this track meet that we're talking about or any other, you know, sport, these guys that are taking over these female competitions. And if the women speak, if the girls speak out about it at all, they are mercilessly attacked and mocked and degraded in the most sexist manner by the dudes pretending to be women. Now, some people say, yeah, that's what feminism has wrought. Not everybody is a feminist, though. Not everybody's a third and fourth waver. Don't lump all of us women in with that nonsense. We didn't ask for any of that stuff. We're happy to do our own thing in our own women's division. So don't do that. But what it does make me angry is all the feminists are MIA on this. I mean, the ones who made a cottage industry out of like Me Too and all of that, they're MIA, which goes to show you that was only ever a grift to further oppress women from the progressive female side of things. Progressive females are really good fetch and carry for the progressive patriarchy. They're real good at it. Step and carry. They're real good. But I feel bad for like the Trump. I'm looking at these girls and they have their medals and they're standing on their little podiums. And then there's a very obvious dude right there with them. Very obvious. I mean, nobody thinks that this dude's a chick. Nobody thinks this. This is like any of these matches. They all have like the height advantage. They have all the advantages. So the whole thing is just wild. I feel bad for what is it going to take? What is it going to take? Is it going to take all the girls just not competing? Because I feel like that's so unfair too. Just, I don't know. It's just incredible. I feel bad for them. I feel bad. It's a tough position. Now, a few other things to touch on. Because we were talking about the woke right and some of this others. Oh, here's the one I wanted to get that I didn't get to earlier. So as it pertains to Lutnick, because we were talking about the Epstein stuff earlier. Now there's betting on whether or not he's going to leave the administration. People who are like some of the drive-bys need to understand Lutnick misrepresented how well he knew Epstein. I mean, by misrepresented, I mean he lied. I feel like that's safe to say. You can still like the guy. And I'm not saying that he did anything necessarily wrong, but it looks real suspicious when it turns out that you were a lot closer to the guy than was you previously let on. When are people going to realize that the cover-up is always worse than, well, most instances, not all, worse than the crime? Every single time. Every time. A lot of these people just need to come clean on this stuff. And at what point, who was it that was saying in the DOJ, well, you know, it could be a national security thing if all these names are released. I don't care. I don't care. Then it is. Then it's all forfeit. For the truth? Then you're saying to settle for the lie because it's safer? That's what I'm hearing, right? Am I being too harsh? And that's how I interpret that. Then settle for the lie and go along with it and just look the other way because it would be too damaging for the truth to come out. Well, then let the truth come out. That's just the way it is. That's unfortunate. That's the way it is, though. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to leave or not. I think that there are some people in Trump's orbit, though, that are absolutely liabilities. Like Bannon, I was talking about Steve Bannon is absolutely a liability. Every single conservative that goes on Bannon's program should be questioned about Epstein since they're going on his BFF's program and still aligning with him. If you're using Steve Bannon to platform yourself, you need to ask yourself, is it more important for you to be platformed or is it more and buy an Epstein aid so you can aid and abet that? Or is it more important to be consistent with your so-called values? Every single conservative, I don't care who you are, needs to answer that question. Why are you going on the show of a guy who wanted to rehabilitate him after his pedo conviction? Why are you going on the show of a guy who took money from CCP and was arrested on a CCP assets yacht? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, why are you working with a dude who apparently used his World of Warcraft gold to move money around without getting caught? I feel like these are all legitimate questions to ask. So why isn't anybody asking anybody that? Why is nobody asking Steve Bannon questions? Bannon is fine to let Trump hang out there in the wind and avoid it. Notice he won't talk about it. He avoids it. Why aren't people asking Bannon these questions? I mean, I feel like Trump is pretty, I mean, if there was something to be had about him, it would have come out forever ago. People need to stop. It's what is very clear is that he bounced that dude the moment he got froggy. You can love or hate Trump. I really don't care. But the receipts are out there showing this dude was not aiding and abetting Epstein the way that Bannon was. So as I'm saying, the guy's a liability. Absolute liability. There's so much stuff. I mean, there's more emails that came out. There are more photos that have come out. Like, oh my gosh. Like, how many photos did you take with this guy? I mean, I get it. You wanted, you know, to be famous, but good grief. Remember, this is also the guy who called Trump Jr. a traitor. Verbatim, quoting him directly, called him a traitor and promoted that story that he had that meetup with that Velilitskaya lady with Fusion GPS in New York, which never happened. And he called him a traitor for it. The guy who allowed hostile journalists to walk around the White House and then write hit pieces on the Trump administration. No, Bannon is a traitorous liability. Absolutely. A guy who pals around with Miles Guo, a CCP asset. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's so much more. There's a lot here. And this, there's no excuse for it. He was incredibly close. After his convictions, he was incredibly close. He sought his political advice. He tried to work to rehabilitate his image. He filmed in 2019 a two-hour video with him where they downplayed all of his crimes and try to portray him as this really brilliant money guy. And Bannon said he's the, quote, smartest guy in the room, end quote. By the way, he asked Epstein for help with Soros in Europe. It goes on and on. Epstein advised him on European strategy. And Epstein also was, like, introducing him to people. I mean, And it was Epstein that encouraged him as a way to dodge registration under FARA to just be a public figure. That way you don't have to worry about registration under FARA. So yeah, I feel like everybody who goes on his show needs to answer. Why are you helping mainstream this?
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion won. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is like a Mad Libs headline. A Florida man is accused of mooning and then chucking soda at a group of teenagers inside of a McDonald's.
Which did he do first?
Or as my grandmother would have said, a MacDonald's. The man, William Heath is his name, he doused two teenagers in soda and then mooned them. Well, why did he do that? We don't know. I mean, why does anybody do the crazy stuff that they do? Because they're crazy. He thought they were staring at him. He wandered into the McDonald's in Gainesboro, Florida, and became visibly agitated when he saw a bunch of teenagers looking at him, probably because he was acting like a freak, but, you know, we're just going to skip over that part. He stormed over to the teens who were seated in the dining area and started an argument. And then he threw soda at them, Dr. Pepper, in case you wanted to know, according to the police report. And then he flopped down in a bush near the sidewalk and pretended the group had ganged up on him and shoved him into the bushes. Then he turned around and dropped his pants and spanked himself and then caressed his left buttock cane.
Oh,
witnesses who watched the bizarre scene unfold told police they never saw the teenagers initiate any kind of physical contact. He just was shouting obscenities and sexual slurs at the minors, apparently. He was read his rights. He tried to defend himself by saying that they had upset and insulted him. You got insulted. Probably because you're a freak. And so then he went to the pokey. I'll talk about the guy who tried to hold up a Taco Bell with a large rock.
I think we did that one.
No, this is a different one. I kid you not.
What?
Hands to sky. I'll say, I'm not, dude, I don't know what's up, but man. Also, a guy stole a food truck. A Florida man was arrested because he stole a whole food truck. Well, wait, what kind of food truck was it? Let's look. That's very important to know. Ooh, it sounds like it was a Mexican food truck. That sounds really delicious. I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm just saying if you were going to steal one, that'd be the one you go for because that's some good stuff on there. All right, it was in Fort Myers. He's in trouble. He also stole two other food trucks before that third one. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion won. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. And you can also find us YouTube, Facebook, and Substack. Don't forget to find us there. Okay, so I'm not doing wall-to-wall Guthrie stuff because I think there's a little too much saturation happening. I mean, it's sad, but I'm not going to, if you want to watch wall-to-wall coverage of it, there's, you know, NBC and ABC and all that stuff. But one thing that struck me, I thought this was kind of like a weird thing for the media to focus on. The sheriff, the Arizona sheriff, who is apparently spearheading the investigation of that woman, the Savannah Guthrie's mom. They said that he was spotted sitting courtside at a University of Arizona basketball game Saturday night. And like they were shaming him for it. I'm confused. Why would they shame him for that? And it's all like it's everywhere. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe he's at the bat? And there were like pictures of him. The press had photos of him there. And they said, oh, he's spotted at the basketball game. And now there's backlash. So the press wrote all about it. And now they have a ton of backlash. There's a ton of backlash on this guy. Chris Nanos, he's facing criticism because he was spotted attending a local sporting event on Saturday night. What is, I'm confused. Let me try to understand this. Is the standard operating procedure that you just stay on the case until there's resolution? No sleeping, no eating, no doing anything? I'm curious. Is he not allowed? Because it's his job, what he's doing. I don't know. People were saying that they were very troubled that he was at the game. I am really confused by this.
The intimation is that somehow because he's at the game, the investigation's not happening. And there's no on-the-ground work going on to find Nancy. So I think that intimation is completely inaccurate.
Yeah. It seems like it. I mean, the guy can't... He's not allowed to... I mean, how... You know, I hope it doesn't... I hope they find her and all of that, but good night. It just feels like it's already a bad enough story. Why would anybody want to make it worse by throwing in drama that seems a little sensational on top of it? I feel like people are dealing with enough there, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't need to throw that on top of it. The guy went to a basketball game Saturday evening. Is he not allowed to do that? Is he allowed to go home? Is he allowed to take his uniform off? Is he allowed to, you know, go to the bathroom? I mean,
can he grab a bite to eat anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, that seems a little much. And there's a million articles about it. A million. I feel like the press created it, and then everybody reacted to it, and now the press is like, ooh, there's criticism. There's pushback. You did it. You did it. You made it an issue, and then you're reacting to it. I don't know. It's weird to me. I mean, have you looked at? I mean, it's everywhere. There is a million stories of this. Sheriff leading the Guthrie investigation spotted at basketball game. I was spotted at a basketball game. That's what it is. Oh, he gets backlash for attending the game. Here's MSN. Sheriff in charge of Nancy Guthrie investigation is caught watching basketball game. An actual headline. He's caught watching the basketball game. Click that link, Kane. He's caught watching the basketball game.
Oh my God.
Sheriff slammed over basketball game scandal.
What scandal?
After new Nancy Guthrie update.
Wait.
Now it's a scandal.
Can we define scandal for a second? I mean, scandal? What's the scandal?
Yeah.
What is it?
I would think... Because wasn't it Dupnik, the previous sheriff that was in this position? He was there when Giffords was shot in Tucson. And he's the guy who went out and blamed literally the Tea Party and incited violence against Tea Party activists that literally had to like worry for their lives. And then a guy threatened to kill the Trent Humphreys, the Tea Party leader, on live television. It was a CNN or ABC town hall. And this guy threatened to kill him, murder him on live television. That's a scandal involving that office. Just being at a basketball game isn't. What in the world? Now, am I missing something? I mean, those who are experts in law enforcement, by all means, correct us if we are in error.
We are not in error.
But
nobody can work 24/7 without sleep or eating. Stop.
I mean, it feels like this guy's supposed to. I don't know. Like, I can't believe he's caught. Sheriff slammed over basketball game gate. Oh my gosh. It's like they're making it worse.
That's ridiculous. And the story you shared with me, which by the way is ridiculous, him being caught watching a basketball game. It says here, it's quoted someone saying, it seems odd given how emotional he was throughout the week during interviews, saying he believes that she's still alive and how desperate he is to find her. But think about that. The amount of stress and the amount of decompression you're going to need as an individual when you're going like that and that hard and emotionally invested in that, you need some time.
Yeah.
You need some depression. You do. Decompression time. You
need to be able to unplug a little bit, and because fresh eyes and all, you know, you have to. I mean, that's a very stressful position. But I've just never, I don't think that I've ever seen anybody begrudge some, like, what if he had been out with his family eating dinner? Would it have been the same thing? Like, he wasn't the one who kidnapped her. He's trying to figure it out, but he also needs to be able to take a break. And I mean, how long are basketball games? They're not that long. Come on. It's just an evening.
God, I hope he didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, heaven forbid, no. I hope he doesn't enjoy anything in life right now. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, flippant over it, but holy wow. I'm just amazed at this.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say this investigation involves more than Sheriff Nanos. There's more people involved in this investigation than Sheriff Nanos.
But it's all his fault. It just, like I said, I don't want to be mean because it's a very sensitive, it's a horrible thing, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But my gosh, like, back off the dude for a second. Kane, you see how many pages there are of this? Sheriff investigating Nancy Guthrie case faces backlash. He attended a basketball game. Now, when I see these headlines, my first thought is, oh my gosh, did he, was there a malpractice? Yeah. Did he do something wrong? Was he derelict in duty? No, he went to a basketball game. Every single one of these. I'm still scrolling through the headlines. Wow. It's blasted for attending basketball game.
Terrible optics.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what?
Yeah. On and on and on and on. Never ending headlines. They are going at this guy. The basketball game. Can we stop putting aside, just a totally different aspect of the story. Can we stop putting gate after things? I know it's like Watergate, but now somebody actually said basketball game gate. No, it's not. It's not a thing. That's not a thing. Stop doing that. It's unfortunate and I feel bad for them, but that's not right to, you know, slam this guy just because he was at a basketball game and everybody's taking pictures of him and they're acting like, you know, he's a criminal or that he's a bad sheriff or something. It's just, good heavens. Oh, now here's a headline for you. Oh boy. So Kurt Cobain. Oh, I know. You're like, wait, what? Nirvana? What? Kurt Cobain's death. Now the King County Medical Examiner at the time ruled it a suicide by Remington. Now, an unofficial private sector team of forensic scientists put fresh eyes. So it's not an official. This is Daily Mail being sensational. It's not an official thing. But they're saying that it looks like a homicide to them. Here, cue the Courtney Love conspiracy theories again. Yeah. I mean, it was a shotgun, right?
Yes.
That's kind of difficult to do.
It is.
It can be done.
It's not impossible.
It can be done. But I don't know. I just, and now they're like, have videos. Why are we doing this?
I don't know. I remember in the late 90s, I was doing rock radio at the time. And this was obviously one of the bigger stories, on the alternative station I was working at. And I remember then thinking that this was kind of sus because him, you know, essentially ending his own life by the shotgun blast under the chin sort of thing. You don't have dental records. You don't have facial recognition. You got to rely on something like DNA or fingerprints to know if it was Kurt. And I never saw anything super definitive in that at that time. And we all just accepted that that's what happened. Kurt Cobain committed suicide.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not like... fallen all over myself to find the OJ's real killer. I'm just not right there.
And yeah, the Courtney Love rumors were floating then too.
Oh, I just, out of all the things, why are those? But back to the sheriff though. That's, people need to just stop. Let the investigators do their job, and don't begrudge the guy if he went to a basketball game for 2 hours. You know, they are allowed to go home. They that is a job for them. Even though the nature of it makes it a little bit more sensitive, it's still a job for them. He is not on call 24/7. And especially when you are investigating a kidnapping like this, you're looking at all of this. You have to be able to take a break from it. I feel like people don't understand how important that is. You have to be able to walk away from that and take a break, because it gets overwhelmingly heavy. And, you know, that kind of, you know, forensic investigators, you know, all of that, that's a serious thing. And I just, this is not, these people are not helping. It's sad. It's sad that it's at that. It's sad that any of it happened. But man, the media going ham on this dude. Just unfortunate.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said 20 billion won. 20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, 20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A man is accused of selling pizzas after hours at Little Caesars and then just keeping all the money. I actually saw a commercial for them the other day. You know they're doing thicker crust now?
Yeah.
It was always thin crust. Now they're doing like what they said was Detroit style. And I was like, does that mean there's bullets in it? Just wondering. A guy he started selling pizza hours, and this is in North Carolina. 41-year-old John Hackett. He broke in. It was in connection with a break-in, and they found out that he was selling the stuff after hours and just, making pizzas and keeping all the money or dough for himself. I was trying not to make that joke. Discord is going to age lock your account next month, and you'll have to submit an ID or accept a face scan. This was 4 months after they had a third-party data breach. Yeah, do we really trust Discord? Do we trust them? You trust that? Because I don't. They're going to age lock your account now. They said, we'll find other ways to bring users back. I don't know if that's going to work that well for them, but okay. You mean you can try it and see what will happen. A toddler climbed into a claw machine at Soccer Dome in Webster Groves. This is actually in a neighborhood I used to live right next to when we first got married. A little boy got stuck inside a claw machine, and it happened at the Veta Sports Soccer Dome in Webster Groves. According to the two-year-old's family, I mean, they were watching his brother play soccer. There's photos. And he got into the machine somehow. That's actually pretty smart. Get in the machine. He was in there for like 20 minutes. Didn't seem fazed. They had to call firefighters.
How does this still keep happening, though? Like, wouldn't you think they'd have some sort of improvement on the machine that doesn't allow toddlers to get in
there? This just makes me want to get somebody's toddler and get stuff out of the machine without having to play the game. That's how I'm looking at this. Like, you would think,
like, recruit or hire a toddler?
Yeah. Like the cartel does with kids at the border. You know what I'm saying? Just like, but like, have them get in the machine to get some of the loot that's in there. Because, you know, them claws, they let things go.
That's an idea.
If you've ever played one, you know that as soon as you get something, it lets it go, right? It does it on purpose. It's all on purpose. But yeah, that's like, every year there's a couple of those stories that happen, and I just never can figure out how they do that. Let's see. Musk is clipping his Mars settlement ambition. I don't think he's clipping it. I think he's just prioritizing going to the moon first because it's probably more doable at this point in time, you know, but the media struggles to understand nuance. So I don't even know why this is a story. mass piranha attack is something I never thought I would see. This is like what you would see on Bugs Bunny. 40 swimmers were injured in a horrifying mass piranha attack as lifeguards ordered an emergency evacuation. One victim lost a finger. Oh my gosh, there's blood everywhere. I'm not kidding you. It was in the city of Victoria in Argentina. And local health authorities, they said that they had to treat tons of people over the weekend. Kids and adults, they had bite wounds. And these fish, like there's a, oh, this is a horrible photo. Somebody lost a toe. Somebody lost a whole toe. Somebody had a chunk taken out of the bottom of their foot. Someone had a chunk taken out of their calf. That's insane. 46 people were injured. And they said most victims had serious injuries. All 46 cases were serious, they said. They went through, like in the first minute, three first aid kits. That's crazy. And then one of the victims had to have an amputation of another finger. So so basically two fingers were bitten off. That's crazy. I mean, it's like Looney Tunes. That's horrible. Stick with us. We got more in store.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Here's a fun little headline for you. It's New York Times. Go figure. The headline is this, quote, without a border invasion, Texas GOP turns to an old enemy, Islam. That's the headline. Listen to the subhead. Quote, Republican politicians and strategists in Texas are amping up anti-Muslim rhetoric as a way to energize Republican voters after several elections when the border was an animating force. That's not accurate, like at all. And the reason it's not accurate is because it's not. This is dumb. It's always been an issue. And it's one of the reasons that it is. And who wrote this story? Who is the unfortunate? J. David Goodman. Reporting from the suburbs of Dallas for duty. Good grief. What a dumb story.
I'm also not surprised to see it. I mean, it's the New York Times, first of all, but they can't interpret anything and come to any other conclusion other than racism, homophobia, or whatever when it involves the right.
We're actually talking about the political movement, the Islamism, and it was the Epic City. It's the attempts to try to push Sharia, which in the area that we live, a reminder for everyone, in Irving, in fact, it was the former mayor of Irving, now Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, who led the charge on this. They were trying to actually establish a Sharia court separate from American jurisprudence. Not kidding. That was a real thing. That happened a couple of years after an Irving, Texas father went on the run after he honor killed his two beautiful teenage daughters because he said, per his wife, that they had gotten too westernized. Huh. And so he killed them. Google it. It was a big story, still is. There are these instances like that. There was another honor killing in the area just a few years ago. So, yeah, it's a real thing, a very real thing. And the pushing of Sharia elements. If they can't, if Islamists can't get a full-on Sharia court, then they're going to try to advocate for different aspects of it, locally, municipally, things like that, which is why you need to be very aware of what's happening in your community. But to say that it returns to an old enemy, the right isn't like the left. I mean, the reason that people are pointing out these things, and this, and it's not an old enemy. This was literally a new development that was being created, and there was a lot of questions as to the funding. There was a lot of questions also about whether or not it was actually inclusive, because apparently one of the structures, it was reported that one of the financial structures of the community was treating the the mosque as a like a facet of the HOA, like you would have to pay dues that went to it. Remember, we talked because we asked the governor about that, and he had to sign. He signed a law banning these sorts of community creations like this, these little compounds, for the lack of a better way to put it, that went to operate outside of American jurisprudence, meaning outside of our westernized legal system. And so that's, it's not an old enemy. It was a new development. I just think that if you're going to be a reporter and say that you're reporting from the area, maybe give readers what led up to this, because he really doesn't talk about that. He made one mention of it in one sentence, and this is the only thing that he mentioned, was that a proposed real estate development east of Dallas, talking about Ken Paxton, announced he would investigate a proposed real estate development east of Dallas as a, quote, potentially illegal Sharia city, end quote. That's all he mentioned of it, just so they could check the box and say that they got it out of the way. But he doesn't discuss what led up to that. Acts like it's like fear mongering, and it really isn't. Progressives have always had their head in the sand on this stuff when they're not outright accommodating it, which is what I find so interesting. I mean, it's very, these are people who are very identity politic until they find it convenient to not be. But this is actually, it's a legitimate thing that was happening here. Anybody who lives in the area is well versed in it. I kind of question whether or not this guy lives here. I mean, he says he's reporting from the suburbs of Dallas, but he doesn't seem to know a whole lot about what led up to that kind of reaction. It's not fear mongering, and it's not Republicans reacting to some boogeyman. It was an actual thing that was happening, and they just decided to change the name of it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, you have the story of, you know, speaking of other developments, there was the other story, let me pull this up, of the Colony Ridge, and that's the development that became like this illegal immigrant haven, and they just now reached a $68 million settlement with the administration, the Colony Ridge development. They just now reached it, and they were allowing illegal aliens basically to skirt established legal restrictions on purchasing property, finance, etc. And they were talking about the first lawsuit. Crazy enough, the first lawsuit in Colony Ridge was brought by the Biden administration because they said that Colony Ridge was targeting particularly Hispanic customers, even people who were here legally. And it was being fueled by, I mean, you can't tell me that there's not cartel stuff coming into this, but they started targeting other people with predatory loans, and then they apparently were misleading about what they were getting, and they made loans available to illegal immigrants who were absolutely ineligible to apply for a traditional loan. And so they said that they had this like cycle of foreclosure constantly, and they were preying on the legal immigrant community, like the legal American community, and also illegal immigrants, and like allowing them to skirt all these restrictions. And the Biden administration, so in case you think that this is a one-sided thing, they were the first people to bring suit, the first entity to bring suit against this. And then the Trump administration followed up, as well as the AG Ken Paxton. So they were trying to end the entity's ability to just willy-nilly throw out loans to illegal immigrants. And then, that's crazy. That story is crazy. And there's a lot of, they said cartel activity, law enforcement confirmed that cartel activity really took a foothold there. So very real things that are happening with this. And, you know, I don't expect the press to, I just found that to be a really ridiculous article. And I just don't know how you can write that it's an old enemy and you're not discussing all of the stuff that led up to that particular thing. Unfit people face a 775% higher risk of blowing their top in a stressful moment. Are you surprised by that?
No.
They said people with below average cardiorespiratory fitness face a higher risk of experiencing severe anxiety spikes when exposed to stressful situations. Now, I will point out to people, they're not just talking about chubsters, okay? You can be skinny fat too. They're talking about unhealthy people, unfit people, regardless. Regular aerobic exercise, and it does, honestly, I always feel better when I do strength training. I always feel better after, and it is very cathartic, especially days when you're just like, it's very cathartic. But they said it's like it helps to manage anxiety and tension and anger, which you guys don't need to be told that. But they said that they've done this study and the people who are not like this, this explains the left, Kane.
It does.
It explains it perfectly.
It does. 775%
higher risk of losing their minds. That explains it. I have this chubby Islamist like on X right now with a mask on his face, like going off on me. And I'm like, you're literally an example of this story. I get it. I get it. I see it now. That shouldn't, I mean, you shouldn't have to really, I mean, that it should be obvious. Here's a new survey from Gallup. American optimism slumps to a record low. Now, they're saying Democrats and Hispanic adults report the greatest drops since 2004. It's very... They interviewed over 22,000 people as part of the Gallup panel, a probability-based panel that encompasses all 50 states in D.C. And they said that, and of course, obviously, it's Democrats that are the angriest. Obviously, all the Democrats were like, we have no optimism. We're horrible, miserable people. We have no optimism. Everything sucks. Everything's horrible. That's how, I mean, you know. I was looking at some of the, it's actually, it's not totally evenly balanced, but it's not like a major, but it's the, all the dissatisfaction is driven by, you guessed it, the left, the people who identified, who zealously identified as being from the left. Moderates were like, meh, it's tough. But Democrats are like, we're all dying.
Wait a minute. Yes, so Kane. Is that the same left that was completely silent during the Biden administration when we saw inflation?
Yeah. So funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you know what? The study didn't actually like dive into that. Like if they thought it was going to be better, if it was better then as compared to now.
Yep.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's only oversampled by 0.8 Democrat. That's it. It's basically even. The independents are 64, so 64.9 independent, 68.3 Republican, 69.7 Democrat. And so you have Hispanic adults and Black adults that are oversampled by 11 Black adults plus 11 and almost plus 8 with Hispanics. So not huge, but enough. But the Democrats are like, oh, I mean, 100% of them. That's what drives this whole poll. The whole segment's like, things are horrible. That's the disparity. And like the people who are independent are like, yeah, you know. Republicans are like, oh, it's great. Independents are like, meh, it's all right. And then you have all the left that are... It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're dying in a lake of fire, an AIDS fire, as it were. Wow. The tribalism is real, man. It is way, way real. How is there that much of a difference? Even Gallup was like, well, it's common for life readings to swing negatively or positively among political partisans. But even they're like, good night. That's... Now it makes sense when you like watch or accidentally, not on purpose, you know, CNN or MSNBC or ABC or NBC or anything like that. They said that it's the left had the greatest erosion of optimism just in the past year. These people need to go to the gym, according to our last story. Holy cow. And Now, here's what I think is interesting. Hispanic adults showed a larger drop than Black adults did in the past year. I'm not quite sure what, there's not enough here to measure why that is, but it's still kind of interesting to, you know, look at. All I'll say is this, and I've said this over and over again, there is an absolute active attempt right now to destroy the coalition on the right before Trump leaves office. And the left is, and the left, meaning I include the woke Reich in this as well, because they're not conservatives. They're identity politic worshipers. They're just like the left. They just think that you're dumb enough to believe if they put the veneer of Republicanism on, then you'll believe that they're a conservative. And it's not true. And we all know better. But I really do believe that there is an organized effort to totally deconstruct the coalition before Trump's term ends so that they can kneecap Republicans going into the 2028 election. And you'll have a split faction, all these split factions. You're not going to have any momentum or any cohesion. That is the goal. And there are some people for clicks that are playing into this spectacularly. It's amazing. We got more on the way.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. This is interesting. So in Japan, the conservatives are taking over. They were really motivated after the possibility of crazy unfettered immigration. So they just went to town during their elections, and they ended up winning 316 seats in their 465 seat House of Representatives there. They got a 2/3 supermajority for the first time since World War II. Wow. Wow. And they are their opposite, obviously, their opposition to the Japanese Communist Party, which is weird. They don't like the commies over there. This is wild, wild, wild. And it's a win that skyrocketed their stocks. By the way, they had record highs with us. So that's pretty. Japan, that was quick. They are not messing around. You know, Keir Starmer could take a note from them. Oh, but you know what? Keir Starmer, somewhat of a flashback, but listen to him. He can't even, this is cut 21. This is why Keir Starmer struggles. Stuff like this. Listen.
Is it transphobic to say only women have a cervix?
Well, it is something that shouldn't be said. It is not right. But Andrew, I don't think that...
So Rosie Duffield should not have said that. Can you explain to people watching why she should not have said that?
Well, Andrew, I don't think that we can just go through various things that people have said. Rosie Duffield, I spoke to Rosie earlier this week.
Wow, it shouldn't be said. This guy is a joke. I mean, you have major issues in the UK right now because of him and his coalition. They could take a page from Japan. Look at what Japan's doing. Now look, their economy's roaring. Their stocks are record high. They're living the dream. All right. Today in stupidity. Kane, what do we got?
All right. Looks like Hakeem Jeffries. He was asked about the upcoming shutdown because we all know the Democrats love to, especially when they're in the minority, use their minority power to facilitate a shutdown. So this is his response to that. Listen to this.
Any chance you would vote for or allow your members to vote for a short-term CR to do a clean extension of DHS just to give more time for negotiations?
ICE is out of control right now. The American people know it. And ICE clearly needs to be reined in.
So they're signaling they're wanting to defund ICE and the law enforcement. That's to keep America safe. Thanks, Hakeem.
Yeah, thanks indeed. Folks, that does it for us today. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse, as well as YouTube, Facebook, and the podcast. Download it. Back with you tomorrow.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.